And then if you are watching on the live stream, this live stream number three, are we still on number three or are we up to five or six or seven? Or just let us know that you're there. Just say hi. And I invite you also to join me Tuesday through Saturdays at 12:11 p.m. Or you can watch the replay from my personal Facebook page, From Where God Sits, a short perspective on the things that are happening and God's perspective on life in the world. And then Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, from my Facebook page, we're doing a Bible study each week, Facebook live stream. We looked at the first two chapters of Jonah this week, and so on Thursday, we'll look at the next couple of chapters. And what we're discovering is it's not about a prophet who, there is a prophet who runs and a big fish involved, but it's much more about seeing God for who he is, a real picture of who God is. So I hope you'll join me for that. The title of the message today is We're Walking, We're Walking. And that title comes from a movie that Shil and I went to on a special date. I think it was in 1993. I know some of you weren't even here in 1993. The movie was called Dave. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie called Dave. It was about a guy who ended up, he was just an ordinary person, but he ended up as filling in for the president. And for some reason, this line just stuck in my head all of these years. And it's when there's a White House tour guide walking, and I think it was a group of kids, through a tour of the White House. And as she's doing that, she says, we're walking, we're stopping. And then all the kids would stop. And then when she wanted to get them to move again, she'd say, we're walking, we're stopping. And I don't know why that stuck in my head all these years, but it did. And I think it's what God says to us. We're walking, just stay with me. Stay. I've got stuff to show you along the way. When I need you to stop for some reason, we're stopping. Just stay in step with what I'm doing. And so that's why in May, our memory verse is Galatians 5:25. So let's say that together. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. The core of life, the essence of our being is exactly that. It's about walking in step with God. Not just in a religious sense, but in a holistic, all of life sense. It's been true from the beginning of mankind, and all it will be true all the way through the book of Revelation and the end of time when Jesus returns. The core or the essence of life is living in step with God. It's living in tune with him. It was the essence of Jesus' invitation to the 12 who became his apostles. So in your outline on Mark chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and he, Jesus, appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him. So walk with him, live with him, eat with him, sleep wherever he slept, go wherever he goes, watch his miracles, and he might send them out to preach. So walking in step with him so that they could be with him and then they could do the work that he wanted them to do. It is the essence of life for every person, not just for pastors and missionaries. It's for every person. God has designed us so that life only works if we're walking in step with him. So we've been talking about that over the last couple of weeks, but even before all of this hit and we went through the Easter season, we were talking about that, and we've used a lot of different terms for it, living right side up in an upside down world, seeing life from God's perspective, walking in step with him, the slow lifestyle of surrender, listen, obey, and it all comes back to this. And so as a part of this, I've gotten into the habit of just when I pray, and I've encouraged you to do this as well, is to ask God, God, what is it you want to say? What do you want to tell me today? What do I need to hear from you? And as I've done that, so this, you know, this habit goes back into 2019. And so from the very beginning of all that we're going through now, one of the things that I've sensed as I've listened to God is that there's more than we can see going on. That this isn't really about a virus. That this is about something bigger that is happening. And I have kind of a confession to make, and that is, as we've got through, it kind of makes me feel like I'm out of step with a lot of what I'm hearing, even in the Christian world, because I think it's so easy for us as human beings to get so fixed on what's right in front of us and what we have to deal with that it's hard for us to see really from God's perspective. I guess part of this is to ask you to please pray for me that I hear God clearly and I can help us be the church that God wants us to be, so that we can truly live right side up in this upside down world. When things begin to open up, we can gather together again, that that we stay on track with what God has in mind. Because I just sense there's a bigger purpose. In Ephesians chapter 6:12, and this isn't in your outline. You can write it down and look at it later. Ephesians 6:12, the Apostle Paul, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, talking about the battles that we have in this world, says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And so this, when I say I sense from God that this is bigger than what we see, I'm not talking about human authority. I'm not talking about governments or doctors or those kinds of things. I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint. There's this spiritual battle going on between the forces of darkness and the forces of God for the souls of men. And that filters down through things. And so if you look back at Passion Week that we went through just not long ago, what you see on the ground, what you see in human terms is Jewish leaders killing Jesus. But that was just the human. It was bigger than that. It was the forces of Satan against the forces of God. So I just sense God is moving in some ways, and I don't know what those are. But as I was praying this morning, and I was just listening, and I asked God, what is it that you want us to hear today? And here's some things that just came to mind that I think are from God, that there's nothing that would be against God. So here's what I sense what was on God's heart. Remember that everything that I do, God, is in the context of my love. Remember, everything that he is doing is in the context of his love. I long for my children to come to me. I'm sad to see them scurrying around, feeling like they're lost. And I want to offer them life and hope. Because science, education, intellect, and education, government cannot save and cannot guide, but I can. And so that's why we have to keep coming back to him. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against what God is doing. And so we need to look to him. We need to look to him. And I sensed him also saying, warn them, warn people, because the COVID-19 is the least of their worries. That one caught me off guard. That's the least of their worries? And it took me, because the struggle is bigger than a pandemic, the struggle is for eternity. There's something worse than dying of COVID-19. And that is dying without Jesus of anything. Because then we face eternity away from God in hell, the punishment of hell, rather than the reward of heaven. So we can get so caught up in what's going on in our world that we let go of the things that are important. Let me read for this C.S. Lewis. You know, if you've been around here any length of time, is one of my favorite writers. And he said way back in 1948, World War II was over, the atomic age had begun, and the great fear was that every country was going to develop atomic bombs that had been dropped in Japan, and the world was going to destroy itself. And so it was a real, real fear, kind of like the pandemic fear that we're feeling now, as everybody's almost putting their life on hold in response. And here's what he said. In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. Insert the pandemic. How are we going to live in this age? I am tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. Or as you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night. Or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, syphilis, paralysis, air raids, an age of railway accidents, or an age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. And don't you find in our culture, it's like, this has never happened before. No, plagues have been a part of worldwide history. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb. Everybody dies, right? Right? Everybody dies. In unpleasant ways. We had, indeed, one very great advantage of our ancestors, anesthetics, but that we still have. It is perfectly ridiculous to go on about whimpering and drawing long faces because scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. He just has a way of giving some perspective, doesn't he? Oh, this is not out of the norm. This is the first point to be made, he says. The first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. Anybody want to say amen out there? Amen. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. Praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts. How's that for a Christian writer? Not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about bombs. They may break our bodies, or a microbe could do that, but they need not dominate our minds. You know where our minds need to be? How am I walking with Jesus today? How am I walking with him? Because if we're walking in step with him, nothing touches us that doesn't come through Jesus. Now, was Stephen of the book of Acts, was he martyred? Did he die an early death? Yes, he absolutely did. But he was walking and stepped with Jesus so that was a part of God's plan. So it's not that bad things don't happen. It's just that we are walking in step with him. So in that context, let's talk about the invitations that Jesus extends to us to walk in step with him. Number one, the first invitation that Jesus extends to us is to come sit with me. Come sit with me. This describes the face-to-face times with him. And so as we go through each one of these invitations, I want you to think of somebody who's a really, really, really good friend. Someone who you love spending time with and you love having conversations with. You just enjoy whatever you're doing together. You might be working or playing or eating, but you just enjoy being together. And that's the context of these invitations from Jesus. So the invitation to come sit with me is to have a face-to-face conversation. So in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, that we read, as we see it in the context of Jesus with his apostles, it says, he appointed 12, whom he also called apostles, so that they might be with him. Just to be with him. There's a value in just being with someone. I remember years ago, it's happened multiple times. I'm a time when I'm really busy in life, and I'm just trying to get a lot of different tasks done, and I'm very focused on trying to accomplish things. And for some reason, I have to stop and I spend some time with people. Oftentimes, when I feel like I don't have enough time, and I'm with people that I care about, and I can almost physically feel my heart being filled up just because I'm with those people. You see, there's value. There's unexplainable value that comes just from being together. And so it's always been that way. We go back to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, the first part of verse 8 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in their garden in the cool of the day. So from the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, his purpose was that he could have a creation that had their own will and their own personality that he could have personal relationship with. He couldn't have that with the animals, but someone created in his image with the ability to choose right and wrong. He wanted to just be with us. And he created us so that we have the need to just be with him. And so this, the language here in Genesis 3:8 is that this was the habit. That they would be about their lives, and then every day God would come along and just be with them in the cool of the evening. We looked at Psalm 46:10 in previous weeks, and then in the daily From Where God Sits live cast. Be still and know that I am God. Just come to be face to face with me, to talk with me, to be with me. And then he says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted. I'll give you perspective on who I really am. And then we come into Luke chapter 22, verse 15. Jesus has gone through his ministry. He'd chosen his 12 to be with him. And now this is on that Thursday evening before he's arrested. And he has this Passover set up by his disciples. And he says to them this, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? I want to be with you one last time before our relationship changes forever. Because even though I'll still have a relationship with you, it won't be the same because I will be in a glorified body. I won't be in this body anymore. I have earnestly desired to be with you. We were created to sit with God. So what does that look like? So in your outline, the first bullet point, what does it look like? It's a daily scheduled face-to-face time with God. It's having an appointment with him. And in our journal that we put together this year, 2020 Vision Time with God, on page Roman numeral 9, we have a sample appointment with God. That's an outline of what it might look like to just spend some face-to-face time with God. What it needs to be is true conversation with God. If you are having a daily time with God or a quiet time with God or a devotional time with God and you're just checking off a box, stop it. Just stop it. Because God doesn't want you checking off a box. He wants you to sit face to face with him. And so some of you are going through the motions instead of really sitting with him. Now, put yourself in the place of that good friend that you had. And you call him up and say, you know, Pastor told me that I should have some face-to-face time with you every day, and so we're going to need to set up an appointment. And so you set up an appointment for 6:30 every morning, and you say, we'll FaceTime at 6:30 every morning. You get on there at 6:30 every morning, and your whole intent is, I got to get through this so that I can get on with my day, because Pastor Herb told me he's going to check up on me and I got to spend 15 minutes with you, or he tells me that I'm going to have to wash the parking lot. And so you get on that FaceTime and you go, oh, how you doing? You know, you're distracted and you're not really paying attention. Okay, I'm supposed to read a letter from you today. And so did you send me your letter? Okay, you read through the letter. And then you're watching the clock, 15 minutes is up. Okay, got to go. How long would that friendship last? Not very long. How would that friend feel? Like you really don't care. How does God feel when it's just a duty? The God of the universe is inviting you to sit with him face to face. And so why do we use the Bible? It's because that's his word to us. That's his truth to us. And so you start out reading wherever it is you're reading, but with this attitude, God, what do you want to say to me today? And if he stops you after one verse, don't say, oh, well, my journal says I have to read a whole chapter. Right? No, so you stop wherever God tells you to stop. If he tells you to read something else, if he brings a chapter to mind or a verse to mind, go there. And then just talk with them about it. God, what do you want to say to me today? And then write it down. Face-to-face time with God. So that it's this intensity, so that he has the freedom to tell us whatever he wants at the important times. So if you're a parent and you had these times with your kids, these were the times when you looked them in the face and you said, we got to talk about some important things. And maybe you shared your philosophy of life or how to do finances, or you helped them with their homework or whatever it was. These were intense alone time with other people. That's what this is really all about. And so Jesus says, come sit with me so that I can hear what's on your mind and you can hear what's on my mind and you can know me better. But then the second bullet says, unscheduled times as needed. So as we go throughout our day and we're being sensitive to what God might want to say to us as we go throughout our day, is when we sense him pulling us aside and saying, hey, can I talk to you? Then we pull aside so that we can have face-to-face time with him. Now, my experience is, so oftentimes it's those unscheduled moments that God wants to talk to me that are the most powerful, the most fulfilling, the most transforming. So Jesus says, if you want to walk in step with the Spirit, then you need to spend face-to-face time with me. Come sit with me. I have so much to say. Now, can time with other people get mundane? It can. It really can. If that relationship is not alive. You know, a lot of life is routine. And sometimes you don't have to even say anything. You just be with the other person. And sometimes, I'll kneel before God and say, God, I just want to be with you. Is there anything you want to say? I don't hear anything, but I just sense his presence. And that's enough. There's no script to make relationships work. Everyone is different. But you have to set that time aside and you have to listen for those unscheduled times. Number two, the second invitation he gives to us is come walk with me. This is about doing life together. This is about, so you have that face-to-face time with God, you have those deep conversations with him, you're listening, you're talking with him, and then you go about the rest of your day. And it kind of sets the foundation, it sets the pace. This is the slow lifestyle that we've talked about, surrender, listen, and obey. Where we're just walking in step and we're surrendering, we're listening, and we're obeying. In good times, in bad times, in ordinary times, most of life is routine. Most of life is just ordinary. But it's just walking in step with Jesus. And so we go back to Mark 3:14. It says, and he appointed those 12 to be apostles so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. So they had these intense times with him, but a lot of times they were walking from one town to the next. They were watching him do healings, miracles, teaching. They were watching him making the Jewish teachers really mad and trying to pull him back and saying, stop that. And They watch him go into the temple and clear the temple, and they watch him raise the dead. They're just being with him. They're just in the context of whatever's going on in their life. They're just walking with them. Mark chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. Here's what Jesus invited them to do. Here's what he invites us to do. Mark 1, 17 to 20. Jesus said to them, Peter and Andrew, I think. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Yeah. And immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in that boat and hired servants with the hired servants and followed him. So the invitation was, follow me, walk with me, come with me wherever I go. Luke chapter 5, verse 27-28, a little bit later, this he went out and saw a tax collector. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And so what we see when Jesus goes about and gathering disciples, his invitation is this, follow me. In other words, come with me. Go with me where I go. Just follow me. Walk with me. Do what I do. Just keep in step with me. That was the point. So it was a lifestyle of just being together. One of the things I appreciate about Don Nemet and Mike Reichel is that whenever I'm around them and there's food to eat, you know what they do? They stop and they pray and thank God for the food. Now, you might think I'm a pagan, but the truth is, I've developed this lifestyle where I just kind of graze through the day. You know, I don't usually bring a lunch, you know, to the office or wherever I'm going. Unless I'm out with someone doing something, you know, I usually don't eat a meal. I usually have fruit in my office. I'll have some protein bars or, you know, sometimes I'll make a sandwich as I'm leaving the house. So I just kind of go about my day. And so as I'm studying or doing something, I'll grab the apple and I'll just start eating it. So maybe I am a pagan. But the thing I appreciate about Don and Mike is they remind me that every moment and everything is from God because they pray every time before they eat. That's just a great reminder. Because we're supposed to be walking every single step with God. Well, what does this look like? So in your outline, the bullet points I put there is it's an awareness. It's developing an awareness of the presence of God. And that's a skill that you have to develop. It doesn't happen automatically. It happens as we have that face-to-face time with God, as we develop those habits, like every time I put anything in my mouth, I stop and acknowledge that God is really God, and I thank him for what I'm eating. Whatever those habits, some people will put reminders, alarms in their phone, every so many hours, just to, as a reminder, oh, remember, you're walking with God. Whatever you have to do, it's just this awareness. And so if you go back years and years, remember the WWJD? And what did that mean? What would Jesus do? So they had bracelets, they had whoever came up with that. Actually, it came from God, but somebody got rich over that. But it's a good reminder in every decision I have to make. What would Jesus do? Or what would Jesus think? And so it's developing this habit of constant conversation with God. And then making the effort to connect. If you're developing this with a human friend, then you're texting throughout the day, or you're emailing, or you're calling on the phone. You're thinking of them. And if a decision is to be made and they're part of your life, a spouse or a family member, you're just making the effort to connect. One of the fun things that came out of this for our family with our grandkids You know, when all of this hit, suddenly I found myself looking at a computer screen with the Brady Bunch on my screen, different faces all the time, all these Zoom meetings with pastors and with our loan leadership team. And it occurred to me one day, we could do this with the grandkids. We could have oh, I know how it started. Brody was watching the live stream one of the early Sundays when I was reading a book. And then, and so he saw me reading the book, and then Carissa had the 12:11 live stream on. She was listening to me, and Brody came in there and go, "Oh, is Grandpa reading a book?" And so she texted me, and I said, "Well, I could read books to, you know, I could read a book to him, you know, in the evenings." And so I did that for a couple of times, and then I realized we could do this on Zoom. We could do this, and that way all the grandkids would be able to see each other all at the same time. I'm getting really off track now. I'm just sharing with you how my life goes. So on Thursday or Friday, I was talking to my sister Jerry in Springfield. And so she's been going over to my mom's, taking her iPad for the 12:11 several times a week. So she and my mom are watching me do this thing. And so we're talking. She said, "Hey, you told me you were reading stories to the grandkids on Zoom." "Yeah, yeah." Could I get mom on there so that she could see the great grandkids? I thought, that's a great idea. And so last night we did that. We set it all up, and there's my mom. And the great grandkids haven't seen her very much. And so they come in the screen, they see me, and then they look at her, and they start hiding behind their mom because they didn't recognize her. All the more reason to do it, right? So that's the kind of effort we need to make to connect with one another. It's the kind of effort we need to make to connect with God. It won't happen by accident, because you have an enemy. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and principalities of the devil and the dark forces. And so he's going to try to prevent you from being in contact with God throughout the day. So making the effort. So come sit with me, face-to-face conversation. Come walk with me, doing life together. And then number three. And I couldn't land on the words, so I put both of them in here. Come run with me, or come work with me. Come run with me. I like the run, because it kind of fits with the theme here. And with the idea of let's run some errands together. Or let's run with us this idea together. Let's do this together. So this is about doing God's work with at God's instruction in God's power. And that's the way it's been from the beginning to the end. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden. So God created Adam, put him in the garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. From the very beginning, God's design was to have faced it, to sit with him, to walk in relationship with him, but also to work with him. And so he gave this responsibility of the garden to Adam as a gift. And oh, what a gift it was. The part of the punishment was now they would have to work by the toil, the sweat of their brow, and that there would be weeds and stuff. It would have been a perfect garden. Oh, but they messed it up. Mark 3:14, again, Jesus appointed the 12 so that they might be with him, sit and walk, and he might send them out to preach. So the purpose from the beginning was to be with Jesus and then do the work of Jesus. There's a depth of friendship that is only experienced when we work together. Haven't you found that to be true? There's a depth of relationship that it can only be made, created, connected when we accomplish things together. And so you hear the stories of people who serve in the armed forces and they share a foxhole. Now, if you read that, they're only together in that situation for a few months, but they will have reunions until they die. Because there's a depth of relationship and connection that happens in those. Sports teams will experience the same thing. Youth camp staff that I directed youth camp for over 10 years, and just out of that week of working together with the staff, we developed a relationship that was powerful because we did all these three things. We gathered together, we sat face to face, we walked together, and then we worked together to reach in the lives of these young people to give them the opportunity for God to change them. And we came out the other end knitted together. And so when I do these 12-11 live casts, I've got people that were a part of youth camp that are coming on there because the bond was formed. And so Jesus says, that's what I want you to experience with me, but also with one another. So if you want to experience a depth of the closeness of God, you have to be working. You have to be running along with him. If we think back at 15, 17 years ago, when God opened up the opportunity for us to have this facility, this property. And those of us that were around back then working several days a week and making mistakes together and struggling together and working together. When we talk about those times, you know what we usually talk about? The fun things that we did together. We'll laugh about the mistakes. We'll laugh about the struggles that we had. I saved Jeff's life. He was falling off a ladder, and I grabbed him, pushed him back. So, Wendy, on those days that you wanted to get rid of him, it's my fault that he's still around. Verse 28, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus said, here's why I'm leaving you. He left us on earth so that we could experience the depth of relationship of his presence in sitting and walking, but especially in working. Jesus, after he had been crucified, resurrected, he had spent 40 days visiting with them, instructing them, and as he's getting ready to ascend back into heaven, he says, And this is for those that were right there physically, but also for us. He said, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded to you. So he says, here's why I'm leaving you. Here's why I'm not taking you to heaven with me. It's because I love the whole world. I want everyone to come to know me and have a relationship with me and find the joy and the eternal life that's there. And so I'm leaving you to make disciples. And then that last part, he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is not work you're doing on your own. This is work that you can only do in me, and you will experience a depth of relationship with Jesus by doing this work that you can't any other way. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus was speaking to those that were following. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He says, to sit with me and walk with me and work with me carries this idea of setting aside your own agenda and walking in mine. And so he says, every person, when he says, take up your cross, that's the work that he's given us to do as we follow him. The truth is, if a group of people don't have work to do, a purpose to live for, something significant to put energy into, it will devolve into conflict with one another. And if you don't believe that, take these angels that are our new song kids. All of these perfect children. I mean, Zeke volunteered and said he was perfect in that, you know, right? These perfect angels that are part of our new song family, all of these kids. You take them and put them in a room and just put them there. How long will it take for somebody to hit somebody or to take somebody's toy or to push somebody or to bite somebody. How long will it take? Not much time at all. Are we adults any different? Nope. And that's why I think in so many Christian churches or organizations, there's so much biting at each other, fussing with each other, fighting with each other, because they've lost this sense of, we're not just supposed to just sit with Jesus and walk with Jesus. We're supposed to work for something beyond ourselves. And in doing that, we experience it. Now, put those same people in the group. Now, you take those little angels and you say, one of their teachers that they all love and they all care about is really sick. And we need to make her some cards. And we need to do some things that will show her how much we love her and care about her. You know what will happen? They will come up with ideas. They'll draw more than you ask them to. Why? Because something has caught their attention that has caused them to serve someone else. And it's the same with us as adults. That's why it's so important to hear this third invitation from Jesus. Come run and work with me. Come accomplish my purposes. And it's a privilege to do that. It's not a burden to serve Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verses 17 and 23. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for them. So whether it's at home or at work or what we're doing around here, if my goal is, Lord, I want to please you with this. I want to please you with these relationships. I want to please you with this project. I want to please you with whatever my boss tells me to do. I want this to be for you. It turns it into an act of worship so that we're working with Jesus instead of just trying to make it through. So what does this look like? Here's application, attitude. Make the attitude, it's a privilege to do whatever God wants me to do, and a joy, not a burden. It's a privilege. Will God ever ask you things that you don't want to do? Oh, yeah. Will he ever ask you to do things that you really, really don't want to do? Absolutely will. I told my kids before they ever started having grandkids, maybe this is why it took them so long to have them. I don't want to change any diapers. I love you and I love your kids, but I changed plenty of your diapers. I don't want to change diapers. And so it has become a thing. Oh, that's the Papa's here. But you know what has happened? I've had to change diapers. And sometimes, not because nobody else was around, but it's because they were busy and the best thing to do was to change the diaper. And you know what my attitude was? So now some of you are going, yeah, I bet it was a really bad attitude. You probably just griping all the time. No, it really wasn't. Because when you do something because you want to do it to serve God and to serve other people, it becomes a privilege. I remember when I was in high school, Bill Gaither, those of you that are music people, the Gaithers have been around a long time. They're actually a part of the group we are, the Church of God. They grew up in the Church of God. They're affiliated with the Church of God. And so in their early days, back in the 70s, they were going to different church congregations and doing their concerts. And they came to my home church. And after the concert, they didn't have roadies. They were just getting started. They didn't have roadies. And so my pastor asked if we could help carry his amp, you know, the speakers and amplifier, all their equipment. And you know what our attitude was? The couple of guys I was with was going, oh yeah, I'll be able to brag about this the rest of my life. What a privilege it is to be able to carry the equipment for these wonderful people. It became a privilege to do that. So our attitude has to be, it's a joy. And then the action. It's the slow lifestyle. It's the slow lifestyle. Lord, I surrender myself to you. I'm listening. What do you want me to do? And then I obey. So this is just kind of an entry level. We're going to be talking more about some facets of what it looks like to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. What this lifestyle looks like as we go forward. But these are the three invitations that I want you to get into your mind as you go throughout your day and throughout your week, is sit face to face with him, walk hand in hand with him, and then work side by side, shoulder to shoulder with him. And then would you do me a favor, as we think going forward when we can all gather together again, we need to do it God's way. We need to come out of this stronger than we really are. So I put a prayer there under the what do we do with this. And here's what I'd like you to do. Sit with God face to face in conversation and every day pray, Lord, how do you want us to be different and do life and ministry differently when we gather again? And then not just pray that prayer, but then listen. And whatever comes to your mind, write it down. Because he will reveal things to you that he won't reveal to me, because he's talking. He wants to talk to all of us. Would you pray with me? God invites you to sit with him face to face. How will you do that? Maybe you are doing it already. Maybe it's been very meaningful. But maybe there are some ways that God wants to make that even better. What one or two things will you do this week to sit face to face with Jesus in true conversation? What will you do to walk in conversation with him just as you go throughout your day, to stay in touch with him so that you truly are walking in step? What one or two things can you do? Maybe put an alarm in your phone or some other kind of reminder. And then what kind of work does he want you to do? How does he want you to serve? It can be, it is in our homes, in our places of work, as we go throughout our day, and as a part of the New Song family. What has he told you that he wants you to do? So what one or two things will you do this week to work shoulder to shoulder with Jesus? Lord, I pray that you would remind us of those things that have just come to mind, of the actions that we'll take. Lord, I pray this week that you will help each one of these people get a taste of the wonder, the pleasure, the joy, the satisfaction that comes in this kind of lifestyle. That they will begin to see it through your eyes, right side up. That it's what we were created for. All the way back in the garden. It's what you came to tell us that we are all about. God, I pray that you would pull us back in step with you in those times when we start to veer away. I pray that you would build iron sharpening iron relationships into our lives that will hold us accountable. And that, God, whatever the future holds, whatever life is going to be like as we go forward, that this will be the constant and this will be the anchor, walking in step with you. Lord, we love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.